71. Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. For there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul, which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. We pay special attention this morning in connection with the infant baptism administered in our midst to verse 6. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. We believe that this psalm is a psalm of David. That is the opinion of most commentaries, although some also suggest that it might be a psalm of Jeremiah because of all the quotations that are found in this psalm from other psalms. It is evident that the psalmist composed this psalm in the days of old age. That's clear from verse 6. That's clear from verse 9 and verse 18. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. At the very time that David composed this psalm, he was still confronted with the enemy. And that had been his experience. If we think of the history of David, how many times he was troubled by his many enemies, even to the end of his life, even when he was in the senior years of his life. But throughout the psalm, the psalmist confesses his trust in Jehovah God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. That's a very personal confession. That's a confession also that arises out of the experience of his life. Throughout the Psalms, you have an interchange, a beautiful interchange between his confession of trust in God and his earnest prayer for deliverance. And throughout the psalm, David says, in thee will I continually trust. An interesting feature of Psalm 71, if you compare it to the other psalms in the Psalter, is that it has no less than 7 quotations from the other psalms. And this is the reason why some suggest that this could not be the Psalm of David. Much of the psalm is not original. But in the circumstances of life that David finds himself in, he remembers the words of so many of the psalms that were composed by the Spirit of God, even by himself. This is not a proof that this is not the Psalm of David. It is. He remembers the words of so many of the psalms that he wrote over the years of his life, and repeatedly he goes back to the wordings of these psalms. And now, in this particular occasion, an experience in which he finds himself, he thinks of the words of so many of those psalms, just like the Christian, when they are faced with different trials in life. That's why learning the psalms is such a beautiful thing. We find how real and how encouraging, how mighty are the words of the psalms. And so we find ourselves going back again and again to the phrases, the thoughts, the truths that are expressed from an experiential point of view in the Psalms, and we make them our own, and we find our comfort in them. But though this psalm is a psalm of old age, it's also interesting that we can see in this psalm the word of God for every age. And we can find in the verse that we are focusing our attention on this morning, we can find a beautiful application for infant baptism. By thee, have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And then also there is a reference to youth in verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. So we could apply this psalm to the elderly and the congregation, and I've used this psalm many times in visits to the elderly, and they have found great comfort in the words of this psalm, but it also has a beautiful application for the young people in our congregation and for the infants that are baptized in infancy in our congregation. And it's especially that application that we want to make this morning in the sermon. Holden up from the womb. God held us in his arms already from our mother's womb. Notice, first of all, the wonder of his care. Secondly, the hope that this has for all of our life. And finally, the reason this is for continual praise to the Lord. As we have said already, this psalm, as is the case of so many of the psalms, it's a personal confession of faith. It's not merely a cold statement of doctrine. It contains much doctrine, glorious doctrine, what today we love to call Reformed doctrine. But it's also a confession of that truth. That doctrine is real in the heart and the soul of the psalmist and must also be real in our hearts. The confession of trust in God that is made in the psalm is not only for God's providence, but it is a confession that regards the salvation of our souls. This is a psalm that belongs only to God's people, to his covenant people. It's not a psalm that can be used for the ungodly. You can't take verse 5 and bring it to the hospital where a baby has been born from unbelieving parents and apply this in the proper way to these unbelieving parents. This is the comfort that God gives to his people, and it's ultimately the comfort of our salvation. The salvation of our souls. Though we are greatly concerned as parents for the safety of our children, there are so many things that could harm them, car accidents, or perhaps in our modern day, a terrorist attack. But far greater is our concern for the salvation of our souls. It is this that is the subject of Psalm 71. As is also the case very often in the Psalms, it uses several names for God. When we read the Psalms and we come across these names, never must we just simply read over them or imagine that the psalmist is simply trying to avoid repetition or using these names merely for the sake of style. Every one of the names of God are so full of meaning. And think about the names that are used throughout Psalm 71. There is the focus on the name Lord, Jehovah God, the covenant God, in Thee, O Lord, not in Allah or Buddha, but in Thee, Jehovah, my God, the covenant God of my salvation. In Thee do I put my trust. And the word Lord, as you know, when it's in all uppercase letters, refers to Jehovah God. Then there are times when it's used in small letters, capital L-O-R-D, in small letters. And then the reference is to the truth that God is the omnipotent one, the almighty, the sovereign God who is able to do all things, the creator of the heavens and the earth, before whom none shall be able to stand. And then there's the mention of the name, the Holy One of Israel. So as you read a psalm like this, you should stop whenever you come across one of the names of God that are mentioned and think about those names and the meaning and the significance of those names. The psalm uses various beautiful figures to describe faith in God and the protection of God. Thou art my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. A beautiful concept. God is the dwelling place of His people. That's why His tabernacle is among them. He is not far off, He is near unto us, and we dwell with Him. When we come to His house on the Lord's day, we must do so believing by faith that we come to dwell with God and He dwells with us, and He is our mighty God as the God who lives with us in fellowship, in covenant fellowship with God. Thou art my fortress, my strong refuge. So many times that figure comes up in the Psalms, and when you think of how much of David's life was warfare, and how often he was threatened by enemies, it was a constant danger that Israel and Judah would be attacked by the enemies, and these enemies were often far overwhelming in numbers and strength, and they would attack. And it was very important that Israel had its refuge, that they could run into that place of safety and protection. The beautiful thing of the expressions of this psalm is not merely that there is a building of protection, perhaps like years ago when there were nuclear shelters in case there should be an atomic bomb. Everybody could run into the shelter for protection. But here, the beautiful truth is that God Himself is the refuge and the protection of His people. The Almighty God, the God who is ever near, who surrounds us with His presence, who is our dwelling place. He is our fortress, our bulwark, the mighty God. He is our rock. Another beautiful figure. Thou art my rock and fortress. And we ought to think about the meaning of that figure of a rock on the seacoast, and the waters dashing against it, and the rock is unmoved. And in the time of danger, like on Mount Zion, those who stood upon that rock would be safe from the enemies. The enemies could not harm them. And that's the figure here. And that rock is Jesus Christ. That's who it is. He is my rock. The rock of my salvation, my safety, and my strength. And then David says, thou hast given commandment to save me. The idea there is not that he gave the Ten Commandments for God's people to live by, but the idea is that he decreed as the sovereign God to save his people, and that decree will never fail. Thou, God says, thou hast given commandment to deliver me and to save me with everlasting salvation. What comfort there is in all of life. And we confess our faith and we pray to him for deliverance, and in doing that we have peace and assurance and safety. And so we together as God's people must repeatedly make that personal, hearty confession. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Now in our text and in other verses in the psalm, the psalmist looks back at his entire life from its very beginning to the present day time when he is old, and he confesses always, thou hast been my salvation. And then in our text so beautifully, when I was still in my mother's womb, I was held and protected by thee. We see this morning a little child, helpless in itself, feeble as an infant child is, and what a beautiful truth that is. What a comfort that is for covenant parents when they hold those little ones in their arms and they can say with the psalmist, from our mother's womb, we are holding up by Jehovah, the mighty God of his people. And as we said, that's not merely providence, but that's the keeping of salvation. And that we need more than anything else. The God who saves us and who protects us and our children from their very birth on, from the very beginning of their existence on, God is our protector and the protector of our children. And that's mentioned many times in the scriptures. This verse here is a quotation in part from Psalm 22, where the same language is used. We have that same beautiful truth talked about in Jeremiah in verse 1, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before I formed thee in the womb. I knew thee, God says. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by the wonderful work of God. Psalm 139 is the classic verse that speaks of that. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Whenever a child is born, we ought to think of what an amazing wonder the birth of a child really is. The inspired author of Ecclesiastes has this to say, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so knowest thou not the works of God who maketh all. A baby is born, is formed in its mother's womb by the mysterious and wonderful work of God, a wonder work of God. We can never fully comprehend it. Even modern day science, though it knows a lot by God-given knowledge, it knows a lot about childbirth. But what an amazing process childbirth is. But our text is speaking, beloved, about a greater wonder. It is talking about the truth, how Jehovah God knows his elect, those who are by election members of his everlasting covenant of grace, and chosen even from before their birth unto everlasting salvation and membership in the church of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing that is, and what a comfort that is for parents, covenant parents. We confess in our form that our children are conceived and born in sin. And we know that the devil wants to have them. And he is mighty to lead them astray as early as possible already in their life. And we know that they are born into a world of sin and temptation where there is so much evil. So much so that I can easily understand it, and we went through that experience as well. You hardly even dare to bring forth children in this ungodly world. How many forces there are of the enemy, of the world, inspired by the devil to lead children astray, and if it were possible to destroy their souls. And we confess with the psalmist, thou art he. Thou art he that upheldeth me when I was still in my mother's womb. God, Jehovah, the Almighty, the Sovereign, he is the one who keeps us. And he does that from the very beginning of our existence. He forms the bones of a child, the body of a child, all of its parts in its mother's womb, and he protects that child from birth. Thou, O Lord, art the God of my existence. When I receive a child, a covenant child from God, what a tremendous comfort that is. I hold that child in my hand and I look at its weakness and helplessness, and I fear the world in which this child is going to live and what is going to happen in the future. What is it going to be like after that child is grown up and an adult? What a fearful thing it is to bring forth children in such an ungodly time as we are living in. And our comfort is the blessed assurance of the Word of God, of our text. Thou art He. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. And that's the hope that we have for all of life. The argument of the psalmist is that the God who changes not, the God who keeps us in infancy, who has chosen us to be His own, the covenant God, who has established His covenant with us and our children, the God who has done that from the beginning of our existence, He will be our God forever throughout our whole life. And so in the psalm, the aged saint of God is saying, I have experienced the reality. I have known the reality in the way of trusting in Thee. I have never been put to shame. And already in the days of my youth, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. And now listen, young people. Listen. These are beautiful words. Thou art my trust from my youth. In my youth I was cast upon Thee. And Jehovah, the covenant God, the God of my salvation, was my trust. It's interesting that in the Hebrew language, there are various words that are used for various ages of children. And to study that, we had to do that in seminary when we were studying a course on how to teach catechism, so that you can understand the stages that children go through. And there was a study of these various words, and the word that is used in our text is a word that refers to young children all the way up to the time of 20 years old. And this is the word that is used repeatedly in the history of David in the days of his youth. So we have in in 1 Samuel 17, we have these words. As David was preparing to go out to fight with Goliath, and Saul thought this thing impossible, then David makes this confession. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. The same God who had delivered him, had given him that unusual strength to kill the lion and the bear, would be with David when he stood over against the blaspheming and cursing giant Goliath. And we can imagine that David was perhaps between 16 and 18 years old. And he went forth against Goliath in the strength of the Lord. And he also confessed that. And so it was in all of the youthful career of David. Think of when he was pursued by wicked King Saul. And think of the early years of his life when he led Israel to battle against overwhelming forces and armies that outnumbered the armies of Israel sometimes many times. And David went before 100 and 200,000 soldiers, leading them to battle, confident that the Lord was his strength. So it must be, young people. The word that is used here refers to a child who first comes to consciousness of himself and of faith. Now he no longer believes just because he was taught by his parents, but now that child makes confession personally, consciously, casting himself upon the Lord, staying upon the Lord, finding his strength in the Lord for all of his life. And so, young people, that's your calling. This psalm is for you too. Think of David as the great example. Think of what strength belongs to us when Jehovah is our God and when the mighty God of heaven and earth is our strength and protection. And then we have hope also for the future, past, present, and future. Because God was my strength when I was a baby, he is my strength presently in these years of my life, because he never changes. He is Jehovah. He never breaks his covenant with his people. His covenant is unconditional. His covenant remains from age to age, and his covenant is the covenant of salvation. He is my rock. Jesus Christ, his Son, is the rock of my salvation. He is my righteousness. Through faith, I am justified in Jesus Christ, because he has imputed to me by his grace the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore he will be my protection and my salvation. And he is also the righteous one in destroying his and my enemies and the enemies of the church and of his people. That's our hope. Joe and Kathleen, that's your hope for that little one in your arms. What a blessed hope that is. Holden by God. From infancy on, think of what he will experience. We can't even imagine. We know that the world is getting more and more wicked. We know that. The enemy is trying harder and harder to destroy God's people and to destroy covenant children. And so around us we see churches emptied of young people. The horror of apostasy in the times in which we are living. Our hope is in Jehovah, our God, from our youth. And we are called to teach our children these truths. Jehovah is our refuge and our strength. From childhood on, we are called to teach our children of the might and power and the faithfulness of the Lord our God. And that's our comfort. And out of that comfort comes the experience of joy and thanksgiving to God. You read Psalm 71 and it just repeats certain themes over and over again. And one of them is praise unto our God. When we know who our God is, what is his name, when we think of his great salvation, when we know that he is our rock, and we face the reality of our fierce and dreadful enemies, and we suffer sore trouble, this is our comfort, and that comfort fills us immediately with joy and thanksgiving to God. Those who do not have God to trust in, their life is full of anxiety and fear, and it should be. The child of God who knows the truth of God revealed in this psalm is also immediately in his heart and soul filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. So you can page through the Psalter and how many of the Psalms are at the same time confessions of faith and trust and prayer of dependence upon God, and at the same time glorying in God. Praise be unto thee, O God, in thee, O Lord Jehovah, will I put my trust. And when we do that, beloved, we with our children, then it follows that we have reason to praise and to glory in our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for the wonders of thy salvation before which we have been brought through the consideration of this psalm and the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the great comfort of this with regard to our infant covenant children. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be with Joe and Kathy as they raise their newborn son in the fear of thy name. Give them the grace to instruct them in thy truth, in the praise of thy name, and give them the comfort, the assurance of this psalm through all the stages of the life of this child, and may we also as parents and as grandparents have the same faith in Thee, O Lord. Jehovah is my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Amen.